Welcome everyone now to our evening worship service. The announcements for this week, Tuesday evening, is our midweek prayer meeting in the session room at 8 o'clock. And then Saturday morning this week at Knockbracken is the second of this series of classes with the Theological College professors teaching. And this time it's Reverend Warren Peel. That's from 9:30 till 1 o'clock. Next Sabbath day, then, God willing, Sabbath school classes at 11. The prayer time at 11:30. The services next Lord's Day are due to be led by Reverend Tim Donaghy. That's because I'm to be in Ballylagan. There's a congregational meeting after the morning service in Ballylagan, and I'll take the evening service in Ballylagan as well. So hope to have Reverend Tim Donaghy here morning and evening next Sabbath day. And so those are the immediate announcements. We come to worship God now this evening, and we sing his praise, turning to Psalm 34. We use the tune Kilmarnock, 106, and the stanzas we sing are 7 to 11. Psalm 34, singing stanzas 7 to 11. And the last stanza we sing, number 11, it says, "The righteous people cry for help. The Lord their pleading hears, and he delivers them from all their troubles and their fears." And God is a God to whom we can turn with our concerns and our cares, and he is the one who hears the cries of his people, and he is the one who is able to deliver his people from all their troubles and all their fears. And so we come to worship this Lord. Psalm 34, the stanzas we sing are 7 to 11, and we use the tune Kilmarnock 106. We stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God. We speak to God in prayer. Lord, our God and Father in heaven, as we come in our evening worship, we give thanks for the reminder that you are a God who hears the cries of your people, that you are the God who sends deliverance, and deliverance is from the Lord. And we praise you, Lord, for your great strength And we thank you that you're pleased to use that great strength of yours for the good of your people. We give thanks for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the bride of Christ. And we thank you for the love that the Savior has for his bride. We praise you that he laid down his life for his church. And so, God, we praise you for our immensely privileged position. We give thanks, Lord, that we are able to gather together here this evening. We thank you for the measure of health that you've given to us that allows us to be here. And we remember those not able to be among our number. We pray for them. Pray for those who are in hospital at present and others who are perhaps visiting them. And we pray that you will be with those who have had recent accidents and incidents, and we pray that you'll be pleased to grant recovery and grant success in the treatments that are given. We pray, Lord, that you will be among us by your Holy Spirit now this evening, and that you'll help us as we think on your truth. And we pray, O God, that you would use that truth of yours to remind us of the ways in which you call us to go as those who are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all in his name. Amen. Now, our first scripture reading this evening will be from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 6, and Roy is going to do our first scripture reading.
Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many comings and goings, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he broke it. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. And he set before them, and the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. We pray that God would add his blessing to this, the reading of his word.
Thank you, Roy, for that scripture reading. We sing praise to God now from Psalm 37. Use the tune Jackson, 102, and the stanzas we sing are 19 to 23. Psalm 37, singing 19 to 23. And we're told about God at the start of stanza 21, all day he's gracious and he lends his sons a blessing are, or rather this is the righteous man. What is the righteous man like? Well, the righteous man is like God. And all day he's gracious and he lends and his sons are a blessing. And so we're encouraged to remember the Lord and what he is like. And those who follow him are like him. Psalm 37, and we sing from 19 through to 23. The tune is 102. We stand as we sing God's praise. We read again from God's Word, this time in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9, and reading from verse 32 to the end of the chapter. Acts 9 from verse 32. This is God's Word. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. And so reads God's own true word. Last Lord's Day at the evening service, I was speaking about awareness of God. Awareness of God is a good thing. It's an important thing. The scriptures teach us that God wants us to be more than just aware of him. He wants us to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And the scriptures also teach us that God doesn't just want us to love him, but he wants us to extend that love to others also. God doesn't have to command us to love ourselves. We do that naturally. But if in the Christian faith we become more aware of God, if we think more about God, if we take more time to listen to God and to speak with him, who will lose out as a result of that? If God gets more of our time and more of our thoughts, well, who is it that misses out? Well, the answer to that question could be that other people in our lives will miss out. But that wouldn't really be the right answer. Because those who are growing in their faith will also have a growing concern for the needs of other people. And so what I want to speak about this evening is concern for others. It's a very straightforward subject. The scriptures tell us that we are to love others, that we're to love our neighbor as ourself. And I'm speaking about something that isn't quite that, but it is concern for others. And Christianity is a religion that encourages the followers to demonstrate concern for others. And that is true of Christianity more so than any of the other world religions. I imagine you have not been bothered too often by Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus or Jews or atheists coming to your door offering to help you in one way or another. It doesn't normally happen. Concern for others. The first thing I want to speak about is concern for body and soul. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, and that God has prepared those good works in advance for us to do. When God saves a person, he has particular things in mind, ways in which that saved person will serve the Lord. And it is other people who are to benefit from the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. We're not just to be good to ourselves. Some of the adverts that you'll see on TV will encourage you to be good to yourself, to pamper yourself. But God intends more than that. Galatians 6, verse 10 tells us, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." We're commanded that as followers of Christ, we are to strive to do good to all people, and we're to have a particular concern for those who are part of our family of believers. Doing good to all people as we have opportunity. That will mean showing concern both for people's physical needs and for their spiritual needs. And those two things need to be held together. And in ourselves, in our own individual lives, we have our physical needs and we have our spiritual needs, and we hold those things together. And those things need to be held together in our concern for others. We are to be concerned, therefore, not just about people's bodily needs, and we're to be concerned not just about their spiritual needs, the needs of their soul, but both of these things are involved in Christian concern for others. Now, it's possible to go astray in making the mistake of targeting either only the physical or only the spiritual. And that's not the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. That way might make sense to human reasoning, but it wasn't the way of our Lord and Savior. Some people are good. Some people are very, very good at showing practical concern for others, and what a good thing that is, that there are people who have a heart for others and who are full of kindness. But if you have that, but there is no communication of the gospel, then the person who is being helped is only being made more comfortable, but they've not really been pointed to the Lord, who is the true source of help and blessing. So some people can be really good at seeking to provide for physical needs, but neglecting the spiritual needs. And then on the other hand, there are people who are good at communicating spiritual truth. They're maybe good at speaking to strangers and in cold conversations, talking to people about their need to be saved. Sometimes people can be very blunt in doing so. And sometimes what is communicated is that the person is not really interested in the person that they're speaking to, but they're more interested in fulfilling their duty of witnessing. And sometimes people just don't listen because they think this person is interested in this conversation for their own ends rather than for my ends. They're not interested in me as a person. They're interested in getting something off their chest. And so it's possible to go wrong in either direction of only being of only showing interest in the spiritual side, or of only showing interest in the physical side. And God wants us to show concern for the whole person, body and soul. When Paul and Barnabas were given the approval of the apostles to take the gospel to the Gentiles, that this was something that was good, and they could do it with the approval of the apostles. Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 10, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor. And he says, that's the very thing that I was eager to do. So they would take the gospel, but they would remember the poor. And the two things were to go together. They were never meant to be rivals or competitors, but rather inseparable companions. So the scriptures, in teaching us about concern for others, teaches us that it needs to be concern for whole people, concern for body and soul. And in the second place, then, I want to speak about our supreme example in care for others, and our supreme example in meeting the physical and spiritual needs of others is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And surely we have seen that in the Galilean ministry of the Lord Jesus, and how his ministry was a ministry directed to spiritual needs, but directed also to the physical needs of people. Jesus was not a preacher of the gospel who was too busy preaching the gospel to have any interest in mere bodily needs. We see him as a healer of diseases. We see him as one who takes time he spends time with those who have various physical problems. The Lord Jesus was not obsessed with the soul over and above the body. But neither was he sort of the supreme carer who was so busy doing good and so busy addressing the physical needs and dealing with all the problems that he could see with his eyes that he had no time to preach the good news of the kingdom. That wasn't the case with Jesus. Jesus did go about doing good, but he also went about preaching the good news. And he did both, and he wedded them together perfectly. And Jesus Christ is our supreme example in terms of concern for others. And Roy read there from the sixth chapter of Mark. We were looking recently in Luke's gospel at the account that he has of the feeding of the 5,000. And this was Mark's account that Roy read earlier. And Jesus sought to take the apostles away from the crowds to a quiet place where they could get some needed rest. But the crowds followed them. And the crowds saw where the boat was heading, and they were able to get there. And when Jesus and the apostles got out of the boat, there was this crowd, and they had gone for peace and quiet and solitude, and here's a multitude of people, thousands of people that are there. And we're told that Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And his plans were interrupted, and he proceeds to teach them at length. He teaches many things, but he doesn't only teach. He also ministers to their physical needs, to their hunger. And we have that great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. It wasn't the idea of the apostles to feed the 5,000. The apostles' idea was send the people away. But that wasn't the way of Christ. He didn't send the people away. He didn't say, right, we've done the important bit. We've had the preaching. We've taught what has to be taught. And now the people can go. Well, Jesus insisted that those people would be fed, that their hunger would be met. And his great miracle just added to the whole occasion and was surely utterly memorable for those people. And those 5,000 plus people, they were spiritually fed, but they were also physically fed. And they knew that this man, Jesus, he cared for them. They knew that Jesus was a man who had time for them. And surely that would have given them an appetite for more. They wouldn't have gone away from that encounter the way sometimes people go away from encounters with Christian witnesses, and they hope they never run across that person again. Wouldn't have been like that with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the kind of ministry that he had. So in his life, in his ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ showed great concern for people. He showed great awareness of the needs of people. And so Jesus calls upon his saved people to follow him. And as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as we grow in our faith, we should become more like him. And that will involve becoming more aware of the needs of others and more concerned to meet those needs, whether those needs are physical or spiritual within any particular person. We have the perfect example in the Lord Jesus Christ, the supreme example of concern for others. And as you read about the Lord Jesus Christ and his life at ministry, you see that concern for others. And that's why he came into this world, because of his concern for others. And you see it worked out in his earthly ministry. Third thing I want to say briefly is about fondly remembered saints. Some of the well-known Christians of the past, some of those people whose biographies you may have read, or people that you'll have heard of, they were people who demonstrated great concern for the needs of others. And that's why they're remembered. They're remembered because of how their faith was worked out in their practical concern for others. One of the great preachers of the evangelical revival in England among the Methodists was George Whitefield. George Whitefield was a mightily gifted preacher of the gospel. But he was also a man who did a great work in establishing an orphanage in Georgia in the United States. And he had a phenomenal preaching ministry, but he also had a ministry of concern for orphans. Someone else who had a concern for orphans was George Muller. And George Muller is known as a great man of prayer. And in his journals, he has recorded more than 50,000 specific answers to his prayers. Many of them are in connection with the orphanage that he founded in Bristol. And Muller is known for his Christian witness and for his practical Christian care. William Wilberforce was a Christian member of Parliament, and he worked away for years and years in Parliament seeking to bring about the end of the slave trade. And he was a believer, and he spoke openly about his Christian faith, but he sought to apply that faith for the good of others and the ending of the evils of the slave trade. William Carey was a pioneer missionary to India, and he's regarded as the father of the modern missionary movement. But he wasn't just a man who had a message to communicate to the people of India, but he was also a man who worked hard at bringing to an end terrible things that happened under the false religion that he found in that land. And Kerry sought to bring an end to things like child sacrifice and an end to the burning of widows upon funeral pyres, that where a woman's husband died, that she was put to death at the same time and burnt on a funeral pyre, widow burning. William Carey sought to remove that. And those are a few examples. There are many other notable Christians who had a real heart and a concern for the well-being of people. They wanted to see the gospel proclaimed, but they wanted to make a practical difference in people's lives as well. And Christians have led the way in the building of hospitals across the world. There are many hospitals that have their origin in the witness of Christian people. Also, Christians have led the way in terms of disaster relief and in terms of supporting widows and orphans. And that's the way that it should be, because it reflects the mind of our Lord and Savior. Well, in the fourth place, I want to speak about towards a growing concern. We all know that we should have a concern for others. How can we improve? How can we increase in our concern for the needs of others? I mentioned three simple things, and each is just one word. First thing is pray. First thing that we need to do is to pray. Probably when we pray in terms of thinking about concern for others, we will have to confess our sin, and we will have to confess that we haven't shown the concern that we should have, that we haven't been like our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been too busy thinking about our own concerns, and we have overlooked the concerns of others. And so confession of our sin is probably where we need to start. Having done that, then we can ask God to open our eyes. Ask God to give us the eyes that we would actually be able to see the needs that there are around us. We can pray that God will help us to see the needs that other people have that we could actually do something about. There probably are many, many needs that we're not going to be able to do something about. But we could pray that God will give us the eyes to see where we could seek to make a difference. Sometimes our problem is that we don't want to see, and we deliberately overlook things that we could see. Sometimes we're too insensitive, and we miss things that a sharper eye would see. And that's sad at times when some tragedy happens and people wonder, were there any signs? And then start thinking back and thought, well, maybe that was a sign and I didn't really pick up upon it. And a sharper eye would have seen it, or a keener ear would have detected it. And so we can pray and we can ask God to help us to have an eye to see and an ear to hear. So pray. We need to pray. And then the second thing is to look. And once we pray that God will give us eyes to see the needs around us, it then becomes our responsibility to look with our eyes, to look around us, to see where there are needs that people have, where God may have positioned us in a place where we could actually do something about those needs. Someone has said that people are like icebergs. There's a lot more under the surface that we don't see than there is above the surface. that we actually do see. And the fact that we can't see into people's hearts doesn't mean that people don't have hearts. And many people we may have regular contact with, or even people that we just see occasionally, they may have very real concerns in their lives, and they choose to keep things hidden. Donald Whitney writes about some statistics in America, and he says that every household in the United States experiences a crisis or significant life change every 6 months on average. This includes events such as a birth, death, injury, serious illness, job change or transfer, car accident, financial reversal, child leaving home. And he comments on this fact. He says, each of these situations may result in new opportunities to meet spiritual and or temporal needs with the love of Christ. People's circumstances change all the time. And the person in the past who just had no interest in the gospel because everything was fine in their lives, they may become open to the gospel when everything's not fine in their lives. And so we need to look and look for opportunities where God could use us. In a school situation, it could be somebody that just doesn't fit in. And what a difference it is when someone befriends you. Nobody else wants anything to do with you. To befriend the person who doesn't fit in, it's the same in the workplace. Some people just get isolated in the workplace. And if someone can be different from others, that can make all the difference in that person's life. And they wonder, why are you treating me like this when everybody else treats me the other way? Most of the opportunities that Christians have for doing good arise in the course of ordinary, everyday lives. And so we need to seek to be more alert for the things that God opens up, and doors that have always been closed, sometimes they just might be a wee bit open, and there may be an opportunity to say a word or to offer practical help or to do both, and to see those things as having been sent by God. That's a good way to think, that maybe God is giving this opportunity. Unless he shows us otherwise, it's good to think that this could be a God-given opportunity. So we need to pray and we need to look. And of course, the hard thing then, the third thing, is that we need to do. And it's a lot easier to pray and to look, but it's the actual doing that is the much more demanding thing. We need to pray for eyes to see. We need to look for opportunities. But if we stop at that, it won't really make any difference in anybody's life. And so there is the need to move on, to do something when God enables us to see that here is an opportunity. We read in Acts chapter 9 about a lady called Dorcas. But in Acts chapter 10, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus of Nazareth went around doing good. And just as there are good works that God has prepared in advance for Christians to do, so there were good works that God had prepared in advance for the Lord Jesus to do. And Jesus did those good works. He went around doing good. And many, many, many people were helped by the Lord Jesus in many different ways. And everywhere Jesus goes, he seems to find a way of doing good one way or another. Now, to do something for the sake of others inevitably involves a measure of self-sacrifice. It means less time for ourselves if we're giving of ourselves to others. And that's a choice that we need to make. God won't force us to be helpers of other people. It's a choice that we have to make for ourselves. But is it not a good choice to make? Would we not want to be more known for caring for others than we are at present? What kind of person would you like to be remembered as? Would you like people to say, "Oh, he was great. He never did anybody any harm"? Or would you like to be remembered as Dorcas was in Acts chapter 9? She was always doing good and helping the poor. That's how she was remembered. She was full of good works, full of charitable deeds. And the other widows remembered her fondly. And as they spoke with Peter, they were weeping, and they were showing him the works of her hands and the things that she had done. And she was remembered for that. And that's a beautiful picture that God gives us of an ordinary person who was remembered for her good works and seeking to help others worse off than herself. And if we want to follow in the footsteps of someone like Dorcas, Dorcas is an ordinary lady. A lady for whom life was not easy, but she found her way of showing concern for others. And if we want to be like her, well, God will give us opportunities to show kindness. And sometimes God will interrupt the things that we are doing, and we need to be willing to follow God's agenda rather than our own agenda. Sometimes we plan to be in one place doing one thing, but God intends us to be doing something else instead in a different place. The writer Jerry Bridges says that opportunities for doing good are not interruptions in God's plan for us, but they are part of that plan. And we always have time to do what God wants us to do. And we need to have an openness to adjusting our plans for what God brings across our path. Donald Whitney, another writer, puts it well. He says, "Don't sit passively until you feel led to particular needs, but go adventurously into your world with the gospel and the love of Christ, and you'll find him guiding you to the needs he wants you to meet." And so this is the challenge, that we would see ourselves as people that God can use in showing concern for others, and go out with a prayerful desire that God would be pleased to make use of us, and to be able to communicate something of the love of Christ, whether in our words or in our ways. And the Lord Jesus Christ shows us that concern for others is at the heart of following him. And so let us seek to follow in the ways of our Lord, who ministered to body and soul. He ministered to whole people. And he was the one who, when his plans didn't work out, he ministered in what God gave him to do, and he was able to adjust. And so concern for others, this is something in which it would be good if we could grow in this grace. Amen. Well, let us now turn to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we give thanks for the picture that we have in your word of the earthly life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the great things that he taught and the great things that he did. We thank you, Lord, for that concern that he had for others and how he showed that in so many different ways. And we recognize, O Lord, how unlike our Lord we are. And we pray that you will build within us that concern for others that he had. We pray, Lord, that you would plant that in our hearts, that you would give us that love that was there in the Lord Jesus, that concern that he had. And we pray that you will open our eyes, Lord, to see the times when there are opportunities to do something. And we pray that we will not be afraid of doing that or afraid of speaking, but we pray, O God, that you would give encouragements that will lead us to seek to do this more. Help us, Lord, to see what we can do. And we pray that you will be pleased to use us for the good of others. We pray, Lord, for our witness as a church, and we pray that over the coming months that we will have opportunities to reach out to people, and that in whatever way that comes, we pray, O God, that you help us to take hold of it and seek to show that concern for others. We thank you for the great blessings you've given to us, and we pray, O Lord, that we will not be content to enjoy these ourselves, but you will give us a desire that others would share in the good things that we have known. We want to pray, O Lord, for the congregation in Galway, and we pray for them as they will be disappointed at the outcome of their call, and we pray for the ongoing vacancy there in Galway. We pray for the folk there as they take stock and as they reassess and consider what direction they would go in next. We pray in particular for Billy Hamilton and for Blair McFarland, as Billy is the elder there and Blair is the interim moderator. And we pray for them that they'll be able to give good counsel and good direction. And we pray that you will provide for your people. And we pray that the ministry there in Galway will continue, that there will be those who will be able to take the services week by week. And we pray that in the future they may be able to issue another call. We remember the work in Cookstown. We thank you for that relatively new work. We thank you for how you've provided in that work, for the premises that they have, for their activities. And we give thanks, Lord, for how this week the group there is due to become organized as the group that has been organized as a congregation has the installation of their first minister. And we thank you for the church planting work that Paul Wright has been involved in over the past 8 years. And we pray for the service this week as he's installed as the first minister of that congregation. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to be at work there. We pray that there will be men who can serve as elders there in Cookstown. And we pray that you will continue to build that church up. And Lord, we look to you for your working there. And we pray that the needy people of Cookstown will have that opportunity to be part of a church. And we pray that you would give encouragements in that work. We pray for the Theological College. We pray for our two students in their final week of classes coming up. And we pray for them as they finish off what is in the course this year. And then as they prepare for exams and all their different subjects, we pray that you'll help them in that time of revision, preparation for exams. And Lord, we pray that you'll give them the energy they need, give them good health, that they may be able to keep going, and just guard them in their family lives, watch over their wives and their children. And we pray for them as they look forward to later in the year, the placements that they'll have in Drumara, and in Kalibagi, and we pray that those will be beneficial. And Lord, we ask that you'll give the men every help in their training. We thank you for the stage they've reached, for all the ground they've covered so far, and we pray that they will continue to progress in their training, and that you would equip them, O Lord, for the work to come. We pray that you'll raise up others who will hear the call to train for gospel ministry. And Lord, we pray that you'll be raising up men to serve as future ministers and missionaries. And we ask, Lord, that you will give that strong conviction, and that you'd be shaping and preparing at the present time for the things that you have for men to do in the future. Lord, we ask for your working in our world. We pray for the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, and we pray that there'll be things that will happen that will hasten the end of that, and that many people would be able to return to living peaceful lives, that families could be reunited. And we pray, O God, for your mercies in that. We pray for wisdom for our government, and we pray for the situation at Stormont, and considerations of the future there. And Lord, we look to you, and we ask that you'll be at work in all of this. And we pray, O God, for your mercy, for your remembering of our land and the different parts of the United Kingdom. We pray for the leadership election in Scotland with the SNP, and we pray for your outworking of that for good. We pray that the cause of the gospel will not be hindered by that, but, O Lord, that in some ways that there could be good things that will come from it. And Lord, we ask for your guiding hand in these things. Hear the prayers of your people in places where they have great concerns, and Lord, we pray that they will know that they are heard. We pray for persecuted Christians. We remember again those believers in the Early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu, and we pray for them as last Lord's Day they were again targeted, and many people arrested, and much violence directed towards them. We pray for people who have been whose landlords have been pressurized to put them out, and people being made homeless. And Lord, we pray for your strength and your mercy upon those who are suffering these things because of their loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, O God, that you will continue to uphold them. And we pray that you will soften the hearts of those who bring these things upon them. And Lord, we pray that you would further the cause of the gospel through all of the persecution that there is against Christian believers. Lord, hear these our prayers, and we ask that you'll continue to provide for us in all of life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We sing to God's praise from Psalm 112, the B version of Psalm 112. We use the tune Eventide 274, Psalm 112b. The last line of stanza 2 speaks of the godly man, and it says, "For all his ways are gracious, kind, and fair." And then the first line of stanza 3, "That man is good who gives and freely lends." And the first line of stanza 5, "With open hand he offers to the poor." And the concern and generosity of the righteous mirrors that of the Lord himself. And so let us sing to God's praise. Psalm 112b, we use the tune 274. We stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction.
Praise to the Lord.
receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.